Welcome to the Perfectly Sane Show, episode 749. I am Chris, as always, joined by Tony.
I, too, am negotiating with the Iranians to reopen the Straits of Hormuz.
Did they give you a nice present that's worth a lot of money, Tony? But you can't tell us about it.
I can't tell. Can't say a word. Top secret.
Jeff is also here.
I was just blanking out, so I didn't even catch the joke.
Tony is he's negotiating to open the strait.
And get the airports open too.
So do you remember this past weekend when Donald Trump threatened the Iranians to attack their power plants?
Yeah.
And then withdrew the threat because he said he was negotiating with the Iranians.
Mm-hmm.
That was not factually true.
No.
No.
Wild, right?
Donald Trump lied. Wait, what? What?
Interestingly, there was a lot of trading on oil futures right before he announced that he was not going to do it. So I don't know. I don't know what's going on, guys.
Did either of you see the Iranians released like a Lego movie? Like
video.
An AI
the
Lego
video
movie.
Is so funny.
It's, yeah. It's terrible. I think I saw that. Yeah. I think I saw it last night.
It's so dumb, but it's amazing.
I do think I saw that.
Like, they're just like openly
so
mocking
I did not,
him.
Not dream that's a thing I saw. Okay.
No,
that is real.
Real.
That is a real thing.
You're not wasted. You're not asleep. It was, I mean, you may have been both of those things. However, the video is still real.
I think I was, but yeah, I do recall this.
We are in the dumbest timeline, but
I've said that, like, that's not like a saying I use, but like, I just like every night when we watch the news, I'm like, it is so stupid. Like what we're going through right now. Like,
everything is so dumb. But I
can't even explain, like, why did we attack Iran? I still don't understand.
No, we still have
no sense to anyone.
Imminent. They were imminently going to attack us with their nuclear capabilities that we obliterated last June.
Yes.
Yeah, and like they've been a threat for 47 years. It's like, I don't know. I've never been afraid of Iran doing fucking jack shit to me.
Right,
I don't know.
Right.
Maybe I was misinformed.
Yes. And I'm a little confused as to how we win this war. There's a lot of people in Iran.
Well,
we can't
first
really
you have
send
to know
troops
what,
there.
You have to know, like
what is winning? What is the goal? I don't understand.
What is winning?
Like that's...
No, but we already
like
won.
The Vietnam War, except at least in the Vietnam War, we had a theoretical idea of what winning looked like. Here, it's like... I don't know. Like, are we going to go conquer Iran? Because if we're going to go conquer Iran, it's going to take a lot of troops. We're going to destroy all the stuff we're fighting to protect. It's insanity.
If we don't destroy it, they're going to destroy it. Like, because they're not going to let us have it.
We can't stop them. I don't, there is no victory.
I think Trump thought this could be like a little stunt he did, like Venezuela. And like,
because
he doesn't
did.
Know anything, he doesn't realize that like Iran is a much bigger country. Like,
yes,
with actual military and protected by mountains and they control the fucking strait.
And we have like a 12-year-old running the Department of Defense who, like, all he does is talk about. Oh,
well, I think
time,
that's
dude.
Trump's actual exit strategy is firing that dude. He's gonna be like,
already leaning on it.
He was like, Pete's the one that wanted this. He told us we should do it.
Yeah.
Which like, he probably did. Like, because he's really dumb too.
But dude, so... every time I see Hegseth talk, I just want to be like, we get it, dude. We have the biggest balls on the fucking block. I get it, dude. Like, do your fucking job, dude. Like, God, he annoys me when he, like, Christine Ohm used to be the most annoying one to me. Now I think Hegseth is getting there since she's gone.
It's always a tight.
They fired
race,
her lover today, too. Did you see?
Corey's out of a job, too?
Yes, he's gone, too.
Nice. I'm sorry,
Corey.
I did not
hear that. That's cool.
A shame.
Go, I guess you could file for unemployment. I don't know. All right. Well, yeah, the world is on fire. And we're going to talk about video games.
Yay!
Yes.
Yay!
There was an Xbox partner preview today. A bunch of games were announced there, but big ones are Hades 2 is coming to Xbox, and I guess PS5 as well. It's Jeff is already playing it, right? It's on Switch already. So you were playing it already, right, Jeff?
Playing what?
Hades 2.
I've played it, but yeah.
Right, but like it was already out on Switch.
Yeah.
You were playing it there. There were a couple other things that were in. There's like Stalker 2 DLC. Dispatch is coming to Xbox sometime this summer. Super Meat Boy 3D is coming out next week, I think.
Was this thing today?
Yeah, it was today.
Okay. Because I saw something about Super Meat Boy 3D and it's like coming out next week. I'm like, I have not even heard of this game. Like, I don't know if I'll play it, but wait, it will be on Game Pass or no?
I believe so.
If it's on Game Pass, I'll definitely try it out. But Chris, were you a Meat Boy head? Were you able to play that shit?
No, that's like way too fucking hard. And I watched the trailer for Meat Boy 3D, which. Is an amusing trailer. It's like great. A guy playing it and he just keeps raging.
Oh god.
But yeah, like the entire like I'm like, this looks nightmarish.
It looks cool.
I might touch it. Yeah.
It looks cool, visually, but it looks like nice. Meat Boy. Yeah, it looks like Meat Boy. Like it looks like, yeah. Like I love platforming, but like I just can't handle that level of platforming.
Yeah. It's like it's a very like super difficult I don't know, like there are people that are amazing at it, and when you watch them play it, it's like, that's fucking cool. I can't do it.
I just figured you might have been, because like you got through Celeste, right? Like I thought that
I did
hard.
Yeah.
I'll try it out, but yeah I don't sure. see me too far.
They showed a little bit more of that not Yakuza game Stranger Than Heaven. Let's see what else. And the one I'm most interested in, but they put a date on it. Well, a tentative date or a time frame date. So The Expanse: Osiris Reborn is not coming until this time next year. But that looks awesome. And it looks very Mass Effect-y. So
is it
I'm
based on The Expanse?
It is. Yeah.
Oh.
I'm not sure exactly where like it takes place, but it takes place in that universe. I don't know if these are, I believe they're all new characters because none of them look like anybody that I remember from the TV show or the books, but who knows? But yeah, it looks awesome. It's by Owlcat, who have done some like cool, old school CRPGs. They did that Rogue, Warhammer 40K Rogue, Rogue Trader, which people really liked. And I think they'd also did Pathfinder, which people really liked. This is a full on like 3D action game, like action RPG. So it's pretty cool, but it will not be out until next year. So that was what was going on there. That's like the happy news for the week. Because the other news I have isn't so great. Epic is laying off 1,000 people. They said because Fortnite is not drawing as much money as it used to.
Shocking still, like, that this game still, has been out forever.
Yeah.
And
it's still the biggest game. Like it is still, if not the biggest, it's like one of the biggest games. Like it is up there with Roblox and other bullshit that's out there. It's still making a ton of money, but they're laying off 1,000 people. And their billionaire owner I was kind of a dick about it on the internet, so
I'm shocked.
Right. Yeah. So that's not great. Along with that, they're also shutting down some stuff in Fortnite. Rocket Racing, which was that was made by the Rocket League guys. It was a full-on racing mode in Fortnite that you could just like tab over to. There's something called Ballistic, which, from what I understand talking to people, that was their kind of Counter-Strike mode for Fortnite. And they're shutting down Festival Battle Stage, which was the competitive music game. Like, basically, it was multiplayer Guitar Hero, where you'd play against other teams playing the same songs to try and get more points. Festival is still staying. Like, the Rock Band Guitar Hero type game mode is still there. It's just a... this multiplayer competitive one is closing down. And they're closing down their Brazilian studio that did this arcade racing game called Horizon Chase Turbo. And they're delisting that in like 2 weeks or something like that. So not great things coming out of Epic. That all kind of sucks. The last thing I have for news, and I know Tony and I talked beforehand, so he didn't catch any of this. Jeff, did you catch any of the DLSS 5 talk?
Yeah, I've seen people talking about it on Twitter, but like, I can't say I'm like an expert. But I guess basically NVIDIA showed off this tech that is supposed to enhance graphics, I think, and people were not liking it. So
DLSS is it's AI upscaling. It does a like Tony, I don't know if you have used it on like PC games and stuff, but I've used it on some stuff and like on other modes of DLSS, not 5 because it's not out yet. Right. It works good. Like it makes it so that it can up the resolution and make frames more stable. So like your frame rate is more stable without taxing your graphics card as much. And PlayStation has like their version of it on the PlayStation. I think it's called PSSR. I just sent a link into the group. And if you go to this, you can actually do a slider on some of, they have like some screenshots and you can do like DLSS 5 off and DLSS 5 on. And I think like the first one, it's this picture of Grace. It's in the first level of Resident Evil Requiem, where she's kind of walking down the street towards the hotel. And if you pull the slider and put DLSS 5 on, that is a completely different woman.
Yeah. the one that looks like realistic.
Yeah, it does. It does a little bit. But not like the same artistic style, right?
It's yeah. No, you would not say that's the same. No.
I don't think Leon is quite as bad. I heard a bunch of people say it looks like an Instagram filter. I don't know. People were not happy with this, though. I mean, they were very, very kind of pissed off. I actually think if you scroll down a little bit more, there's one that says DLSS 5 in Starfield.
Yeah.
I think we've all played Bethesda games. Their facial models are hideous.
Are bad. Yes, they're not good.
I don't think what they do here for Starfield is bad. I think it actually does an okay job on...
Yeah, it looks much better.
Making them look better, but if you're trying to say it's that's the artistic intent. No, this is an AI saying this is what I think it should be. It's not.
Yes. Like the FIFA ones are. It's not FIFA anymore. It's EA Sports Football Club.
Yeah.
Like the people look completely different.
Which is like, that's, I do wonder.
Like, you have a black man here in one shade of black, and then you put the filter on and he's a different shade of black.
Yeah.
That's not good. That is bad.
If you go, yeah, if you go to the second one where there's like three people, it's like very dramatic.
Yes. Like, you go from a light skin to a dark skin black man, which, you know.
Yeah. Not great.
Not awesome. No.
And also, those, like, they're real players, right? Those are real people. Like, I don't know.
There's supposed to be a particular skin tone, and you've changed the skin tone.
And have they changed their facial features so they're not like quite the same? Like, that's such a weird thing to do on that. I don't know. NVIDIA got like an aggressive amount of backlash on this. The CEO, who is an engineer, he is not he's not like one of those normal corporate CEOs. Like, he's a dude that knows his shit, but also I think he probably thinks like this tech is really cool and the people talking about it don't know what they're talking about. And the people talking about it are going like, you're fucking with the art. Like, it's not, you're changing the art. I don't know. It was the first showing of it, right? Yeah.
You know what's interesting is I had heard of DLSS before. Mm-hmm. This, and I had heard it around the release of Resident Evil 9 on Switch 2, and basically Digital Foundry was like, yeah, DLSS is making like miracles happen on Switch 2, so you know there must be something to the tech. It's just I don't know if this is a new version of it
it's their latest iteration of it. It's not available yet. In fact, Digital Foundry like saw the preview of this live at NVIDIA, and it was running on 2 graphics cards. Like, they had
That's not a good sign.
Right. they had one to run the game, and they had another one to basically do the computations for the AI on it. Like, it is right now a super, like, it needs super power behind it. Like, nobody's going to have a rig that can do this yet. And nobody's going to be able to afford it, because graphics cards and RAM and everything is priced through the sky.
Yeah.
I don't know if you guys are still on it. The last one on there, I think it's called DLSS5 in the Zora NVIDIA tech demo. I think there's like a iguana or something in a cage. It's the last one. The one thing I notice here is that the lighting, lighting is an artistic choice.
Yeah.
Like it changes from like this like kind of warm tone on that image to, if you have DLSS5 on, it's like very much like it's a natural light. Like, that's not incorrect, but it's not as like nice a looking image anymore because of the lighting.
It's adding the overhead lights in my office are too bright kind of aura to the picture.
Yeah. It's also and Jeff, you watch a lot of movies, so you've probably seen that like lighting has changed in films over the probably the last 10, 15 years. Yeah. There used to be and there's an actual reason for this too. You probably notice it just like driving around your town, is that the old streetlights used to have like that like yellow kind of like the halogen type bulb, and now they're all LEDs, which is like that harsh white light.
It's like looking into a bathroom mirror while you're on acid. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. But it's like fucked up lighting in movies, because everything is lit with LEDs, like just everywhere. Like, if you're shooting outside at night, everything is this bright, like harsh white. And that seems to be what DLSS5 is doing too. It's like adding that natural harsh white light to everything. I don't know. I don't think it's necessary for us all to get like all yelly about it just yet. Cause
I'm always
not in any game.
I'm like, with like all this like emerging tech, like I'm not like, you know, some people are like really against AI. And I'm like, I'm not one way or the other. I'm kind of, I could see good, you know, pros and cons to all of it. So it's just like, I don't know, you know, I have no say in any of this anyways, but, I don't try to be like a doomer about like AI or this or anything. Like, and some people's like their natural reflex is to be that way. You know what I mean? And it's just like, I don't know, man. You don't want to be the old man yelling at cloud about it.
Right. Like, if you just reject AI, well, you're not going to be employed ever again. That's kind of one of those, like,
yeah.
I work in an office. I have to learn how to use AI. It's just the way it is. So I can't be completely against it. I kind of feel like there are people out there who, you know, they hear AI and they instantly say, it's evil, taking our jobs. It's replacing humans. It's bad. Oh, that's great. You can have that opinion.
It's just funny that
no one will hire you to do anything ever again.
Right. For the most part. Go ahead.
I was like, I don't disagree that it's going to take jobs. But also, like, are you going to be the person that's going to, like, sit there and go, all right, well, I'm not doing it because the AI is coming for my job anyway. Or are you going to, like, learn it enough?
How to use it as a tool.
Right.
And look at that car driving right past your horse, baby. There it goes.
like, I'm going to play with it enough and learn it enough that like I could keep a job, right?
Yeah.
I still want to work. I mean, I don't want to work, but like they're not going to pay me to just like stay home.
I know, but like what if we're at the utopian like Star Trek future of like you don't have to work anymore and
cool.
Like then, we'll just get money. Yes,
that's what Elon Musk talks about all the time. He's like, "Oh, everybody's just going to get their their weekly salary
give us the
and
money.
Not have to do anything."
You have to give us the money part.
Right. Yeah,
like, that's the part that's missing.
Yeah,
if you want to pay me my like you know my weekly stipend to just sit around and you know talk about video games,
dude. Could you imagine if we were like the last generation that had to fucking work for a living? I'd feel so goddamn robbed. I could have played video games this whole fucking time.
There are so many jobs that we have to have, though, that I kind of feel like that's not going to be the case.
Right.
It's just like, if you want a real job, you're going to have to go into, like, construction or, like,
I don't care. It was the thing before,
like
everyone
food
was afraid.
Service, like, all the things that you can't replace AI with.
I don't know. They're... All those things that those are the things that they were afraid robots were going to replace, and now AI is replacing office workers' jobs. It's like, okay, well, fucking make the robots, make the AIs, and let me fucking stay home and play fucking Resident Evil, dude. Like,
I'm right there with you, Jeff. But I just got to have a backup plan in case that's not what they're doing. Yeah, I mean, there are. I don't know if you guys have any. We have full on like there's some. Food service places that just don't have like there's a person that works there. They don't serve you the food. They're basically there like if the machine breaks, they like put a sticker on it and go, "Don't use this one."
I see that stuff at like at Nats Park. You go to see the Nationals play. They have like drink stations where you can go and buy beer. And there's a person literally there just to make sure that the machines are. Properly making you pay for the beer that you chose. Like that's all they do. That's their entire job.
Yeah.
They used to have
like
bartenders that would do that as well as make the drink.
Right. They used to pour the drink in there for you. Now you're paying $14 for a machine to spit it out at you. And
I'm sure you guys have seen those like robot bars in like Vegas and stuff like that, right? Like, there's when we go on cruises, there's usually a robot bar, you know, the little robot arm mix the drink and then just hands you the drink.
I've not seen that.
Really?
I would like to, though. That sounds cool.
Yeah, it's like a big robot arm, and you know, there's a bunch of bottles and shit, and it makes the drinks. I heard it makes a pretty bad drink. I don't think I ever got a drink from one there. Because I would go to the human bars to interact with human beings, but
I would try one though, just like try one. Like,
I'm assuming it makes like very measured weak drinks, maybe might be why.
Yeah. Yeah, you're not going to get the heavy pour from the robot who is trained to just pour exactly what the recipe says. Yeah. So AI is coming for our jobs. The billionaires are not going to pay us a universal income. So I guess we have to
deal with it. At least not yet. Not until the revolt.
Yeah.
So prepare for the revolution.
Yeah. Fucking.
I'm ready, some guys.
Robot guillotines and fucking... them on.
It's like, it's like a robot with a guillotine chasing it. It's an amazing image. All right. Well, Earl's not here, but he did record two pieces for us that I'm going to splice in here as we come about talking about the two other topics. But before we jump into Mini Shoot Adventures, we need to pick a game for April. And Tony has a suggestion.
Yes.
Jeff, I believe it's a game you've already played, so it probably won't be a heavy lift for you. Tony?
So I've tried to play this game a couple of times, and the fact that it wasn't quite finished yet threw me off. But now it's on Game Pass. Cyberpunk 2077.
Oh, God.
I think it's a good option. Currently, Phantom Liberty is on deep discount on Xbox, and I have not played that. So I have committed already. I've downloaded the game. I purchased Phantom Liberty. This is happening. I'm playing this game. I think you should all play it with me. Who's with me?
I could do that. and Jeff's already played it, so if he doesn't want to replay it,
I really don't want to replay it for a few reasons, but the thing is, yes, I played it, but I played it at launch, and so
yeah,
the game I think has improved considerably since
then. It's improved a lot, and apparently Phantom Liberty is quite good.
But like, the thing I was going to say, though, is that, like, I liked it at launch. I thought it was a good game. Like, yeah, janky, but, like, I thought it was a good game. My problem is, and the reason I don't really want to replay it, is, like, early on, it is very, very cutscene heavy of, like, Keanu Reeves just getting in your face and talking for fucking 2 hours. And that makes me, like, not want to do it. But,
well, you
but,
can skip all I that should... now, though.
Oh, really? Skip to like playing the game.
Yeah.
Can you skip cutscenes in it? Is it a?
I imagine you can.
Oh, you're just saying I can skip it because I don't care. I didn't care at the time, really. But it's a lot. The game takes a while to get going. You know what I mean? Like it's one of those
fuck
games.
Fuck you, Keanu, and hold down the A button, and he's gone. That's all you got to do.
The game has a slow start. Now maybe that's changed too. I don't know, but I just remember it had a really slow start. But sure, do it. Fuck it.
All right.
Yeah, let's do it.
All right.
Yeah.
So we're gonna do Cyberpunk 2077. Right. That's what it's called.
The other reason I want to do it is because Earl has never played a game like this.
True.
He always goes for like more traditional video games, I want to say. Or like cooperative games. Those are his things. He doesn't go for like the story heavier open world RPG type games.
Yeah.
I want to see what Earl thinks if he actually plays one.
Yeah. All right. Yeah.
I don't know if that would be the one I would tell him to do.
It's gonna be this was awful. I'm never playing another one of these again.
Why aren't we playing The Witcher 3? Like, why is it this game?
All right. Well, we're gonna do Cyberpunk 2077. It'll be a surprise to Earl. But we tell them tomorrow. Earl has also he's preemptively selected our May game though, and I don't think anybody's gonna have an issue with this. It's Vampire Crawlers. That'll be hitting Game Pass in May. So.
I missed this news. Fuck yeah, dude.
Yeah. So it's let me get the actual date on it. But yeah. It's April 21st, so end of April is when it comes out. So we'll probably play a little bit before before May, but it'll be our May game.
That is so awesome, dude.
Yep.
That's easily like that might be my most anticipated game of the year right now. So hell yeah, dude.
All right. So Mini Shoot Adventures.
Yes.
It's a game that kind of came out of nowhere. I don't know where Earl found it.
It was in the Nintendo Direct, I think.
Yes. It is not a new game. it released on PC 2 years ago. I guess it hit Switch and Xbox and PlayStation and everything this past month, and we have played it. I will splice in Earl talking about it at the end here, because he sent us a little like 3-4 minute solo monologue on his thoughts on Mini Shoot Adventures. But I think we've all played it. Jeff, did you finish it?
No, so I have not touched it since the last time we talked about it.
Wow.
So I'm
shocked.
I was like on the way to the second dungeon temple, whatever. Oh. I may have been in the second, so like almost 50% of the way, since it's I think only four.
You're actually a little bit further along, because one of the dungeons there, it's not really a dungeon. Like
you get to the end, you're like, oh, it's over. Oh
yeah, it's just like a little tunnel. You go in and you pick up the skull. That's it.
Getting in there is tough, though. It's a lot of work to get to that point.
I enjoyed what I played of it. I have nothing against it. I just was consumed by like all the other games, like trying to keep up with like the big releases. So
I guess
hear what you guys have to say.
So I guess Tony and I are the only ones that have finished it. Rolled credits.
Yeah.
Wow. Earl Tony beat it.
Quote unquote. Yeah.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah. Like I finished it. I did everything you can.
You did all the challenge stuff. I'm like. Yep. So I rolled credits and then the game froze and then I was told, oh, there's more game. I was like, no, that's okay.
And that's fine. Like honestly, that it's fine. Like you beat the evil boss. There is a little bit more after. So after you beat the boss, the credits roll. It'll drop you back into the world, and then you get another marker on the map. And if you go to that, and if you've been following kind of the story, there is like a corrupted version, like a little ship like you, but he's purple. And you end up having to kind of like find your way towards him and fight him off and destroy the corruption. So like he's the final boss. And then once you've reunited with this guy, then it unlocks 10 challenge levels. And if you beat them, then it opens up like a hallway where it's like you drive down it and they're like, you've done so great, little ship guy. Would you like to transcend? And if you say yes, like it'll erase your save and the game's over.
Great.
But before that, it's Zelda. But
yeah,
with like a little spaceship shooter guy.
Zelda with twin stick shooting. Cause...
Yeah. So, Tony, this does not strike me as a you game, but you did finish it.
I'm most interested to hear what Tony has to say.
Yeah.
I mean, I think the fact that it's so short is probably the reason I finished it. Because it's less than 10 hours to get all the way through the campaign. I don't mind the twin stick shooting though. It's a fun mechanic in a Zelda game. I will say as the game got harder, like I think the water boss, like after you unlock the ability to go onto the water, is when I changed the controls to like auto shoot. Cause I'm like, I can't dodge all these things and shoot at the same time. That's too much for my brain.
I didn't even know you could do that. That's cool.
But I like the exploration mechanics. I think they're pretty cool. The game like progressively gives you things to make the map larger. and like to get to places that you hadn't seen before. And all like the puzzle solving and all that stuff is really, really great. The combat is fine. Like twin stick shooting is fine. I don't like the storytelling. It's a really, I still don't know what was going on.
There was
And the fact that you have to like go, there's a story apparently.
Yes, there's apparently.
I agree. Everything they can to hide it from you. It's like, I don't want to look through this world for storytelling. I'll look for the next tunnel or like the next like, health piece, but I'm not going to look around for another one of those stupid little scroll things and take it to the guys that can translate it for me.
Yeah, there's these tablets, Jeff, that you can pick up, and like you can't even read it if you pick it up. You have to like bring it,
take it all the way back.
Yeah, you have to bring it back. You have to find like this like area where you bring it to this guy, and he'll put it on like a monument and translate it for you. Like, it's not even like, oh, I found it and I get this little piece of story. It's you have to jump through hoops just to even be able to read it.
That's so stupid. I do like the upgrade mechanics. So as you play, you level up and can, you know, make certain parts of your ship stronger. And then if you're like at a boss fight and you die a bunch of times, you can then change the upgrades that you've chosen. So maybe you're like, I don't need this for this fight. I'd rather have this stuff. And you can respec. I thought that was pretty cool.
Yeah. So one of the things Earl said in there is so there's these races as well. Like, I don't know if you guys came across.
I did. Yeah. I think I finished three of them.
Yeah. So there's eight races. As Earl said, like he mostly focused on shooting and power and like the speed of your shots, but like you get to these races and if you don't have any speed, like you're gonna get trounced. So like you can downgrade your shooting stuff because it's not a shooting activity, and just like max out your speed.
Is respecing like free?
Yeah you can downgrade. Yeah.
Like you just do it and you just like fuck around with your build however you're
doing. Absolutely you can. Yep
it's really awesome in that way. I thought it was fun.
It's fun.
Really cool.
Good.
I liked what I played of it. I just have a little bit of a chip on my shoulder about it because like the way people I think I heard on the Nintendo voice chat they were like talking about it and they like we're just like too hyperbolic about it. Like, oh my God, this is like this is a 10 out of 10 game, like a game of the year. Like from what I played of it, I liked it. But one, it feels a little slight being as short as it is, you know, and like I think it's cool that they made those two like, you know, shooter and Zelda mix like they did and it works. But I don't think this is good as the best shmups or twin stick shooters, and I don't think this is as good as a 2D Zelda. So again, maybe being a little mean to it because it's a fun, neat little indie game. Like it's cool, right? Like don't get me wrong, but like there was just something about the way people approached it where I'm like, okay, dude, it's good, but like you're overselling it. I mean, that's just my reaction to it. And I did not finish it like you guys. So
I could see that if like you're listening to people and they're like, oh my God, this is amazing. And it's like, hey, it's a fun little game.
like I think if you sold it as a fun little game, I might be the one coming out even harder, like just because I want people to check it out, you know? But yeah, because of the way it was presented to me, it just seemed like everybody like that week that Earl brought it up, it just seemed like that was like people were talking about that game. I'm just like, okay, this must be the most important game ever. And I start playing it. I'm like, it's cool. I really think it's neat that they made it work. That you're basically playing a Zelda game using another genre's like mechanics. Like it's neat. But like
and they do like so. You said you made it to like the second temple.
Yeah.
So there's two more temples. As Tony said, the last one, it's not like the temple itself isn't anything, but like the finding the way into the temple is like what's really cool. Like there's a bunch of outdoor puzzles.
Well, that was getting just to the west side of the map to go to the second temple was a whole fucking ordeal where I was like, how do I, like, I kept like looking for a path and you kind of like had to go around and do other shit. So yeah, the overworld is almost like a giant temple in and of itself.
Yeah, that's part of it too. Like there's no like guiding mechanism. So you're kind of just like, what do I do to get to the next part? I don't know. And you can wander around for a while trying to figure out what that thing is.
Yeah. Like if you bring up the map, it'll kind of like, hey, you want to try and go here, but it's like, how do I get there? Because it's surrounded by water.
Yeah, you start running
and as you level up, you can get upgrades to the map that tell you, okay, these are the places you need to do stuff.
Oh, that's... That is one of the, I thought, the coolest features in it is, like, as you're moving on, like, you can get the upgrades that are like, these areas you haven't finished everything in, this has items in it that you might still want. These have the power-ups that you're going to want to get. So, like, you could just, you can basically buy, like I think it's, like, a compass and, like, something else that makes the map like so valuable, and it's like, all right, I need another heart piece. Everything in this area is already done. I can drive over into the desert though and figure out what's going on there, and try some of the little dungeon shrine areas to see what I missed. Cool little game. I'm glad Earl chose it. Because I don't think it's a game I would have tried otherwise.
I wouldn't have played it. No way.
But I do think
it's really cool that you guys liked it though, because like I as far as I know, neither of you guys really like shmups. I know it's like a twin stick shooter shmup, but it's a shmup. And,
yeah.
You guys don't generally like it. And I've always really liked that genre. So I'm happy that like this worked for you guys.
Yeah, I think the Zelda trappings, like the puzzle, like that stuff really helped in making it make sense for me.
It makes the sound when you finish puzzles.
Yeah. It's so good.
I actually hope that they get to do like a bigger, more ambitious version of this, because I liked it, and maybe I will finish it at some point. But I just got so many things I'm playing. It's ridiculous.
Well, Earl is on the final boss, so maybe he will finish it. But you can listen to his thoughts now. But we're not, because I don't know how to play them for Jeff and Tony through Discord.
We'll just have to listen to the podcast and figure out what Earl thought.
Yeah. Yeah, just like fast forward like 40 minutes and you'd find his little spot there.
At the end of the week, sometimes I have what I call just a leftover dinner, which is food I've made throughout the week and decide to just kind of throw things together to make a meal so it doesn't go to waste. And I bring this up because that kind of reminds me of what Mini Shoot Adventures is. It's a combination of two genres of games, I should say, that you don't really think about being in the same vein or even together, and it mixes it up in such a compelling and interesting way. I mean, the general setup and look of the game is very much akin to the Super Nintendo era Zelda games, the top-down isometric 2D games. You know, you're going through Hyrule and stuff like that. And then the other thing, I mean, spoilers for the game, is like there are dungeons in this game where part of the gimmick is that part of the puzzle of figuring out the dungeon is actually navigating the space above it as well, which is very akin to one of the later dungeons in the Link to the Past, one of my favorite dungeons in the game, because it is taken taken that 2D space and playing with it, and that you have a top layer and a bottom layer and just trying to navigate the spaces and where you fall, what that opens, what you can do once you progress that way. But then on the action side, instead of, you know, the sword and shield combat of Zelda, you get a a shoot 'em up. And you don't think of these two genres crossing paths because they have so little in common, but it works. It works so well. You know, like being able to level up your gun, being able to level up the speed, the critical hit, getting different weapons, you know, having a meter, getting a boost, getting a jump, and some of those basic things, but also just the patterns of enemies where, you know, some of them are very straightforward. They shoot in a straight line and it's not a big deal. One, two of them, sure. But when you get a screen full of like eight of them, then it becomes a thing of like, oh, I have to navigate this space a bit more dangerously. And then there's enemies who, again, everybody has a pattern that's figuring out the pattern, but it's a combination of those enemies and who they shoot. And then the ones who later on who like do have a pattern, but this pattern might be a bit more controlled or a lot more screen filling. They'll spin around in a circle and throw out a bunch of orbs, and you have to navigate the spaces in between that while things are shooting from the side and prioritizing the enemies you want to take out first because they're a bigger threat. Like, I always try to prioritize the enemies that either locked in on your character and shot, or the ones that went up and down the screen and have to shoot across, because either way, it fills up the screen with stuff that you don't want to like actually have to pay attention to because it's a bit more sporadic and where it's aiming, where the other ones are, you know, spread in a certain pattern that you can memorize. And it also works with the boss battles. I think that, you know, I think for the most part, the boss battles are really well handled in this game for creating unique patterns. You know, the flip side of that, I think there are not many ways to refill your health during the boss battles. So it becomes more of a gauntlet of memorizing the patterns and getting that down, which again, I guess leans more towards the shoot 'em up genre. But in a Zelda game, you kind of expect that, you know, you can do this because you have an upgrade specifically from this dungeon or this area, where this is more like figure out the pattern, shoot the boss. I mean, as far as I could tell, there's no boss in this game. And I have not finished the final boss yet, so maybe I'm wrong. There's no boss in this game that you couldn't beat with just the default weapon. It would take longer, but there's nothing you can't just like, shoot and, you know, shoot a lot of. But again, you can upgrade throughout the course of the game. I also like that you can downgrade. That becomes handy throughout certain stuff. Like, maybe there's a segment, like, there are races in the game. Maybe, you know, I've been prioritizing shooting for most of the game because that's most of the action. But I want to prioritize speed, so, you know, like, D6 abilities for now, chunk it into speed, get through the race, and then, you know, flip them back as needed. And again, I also like the level up system. It's kind of akin to an old school RPG where you kill enemies, you get, I guess, red gems, and that levels you up. Music is great. It's a very gorgeous game. I like that the little robot ships have, you know, little quirky personalities as well. So yeah, I mean, I think, you know, Minishoot Adventures was a game that I was curious about checking out after the Nintendo Direct. I was happy it was on Game Pass and that we could do it for this project. But I'm happy that I, you know, like we got to prioritize this game early on and get to play it. It's a ton of fun. I would recommend. And yeah, Minishoot Adventures. That is my thoughts on it.
What else have you guys been playing? Jeff, you said you've been playing. You couldn't finish Minishoot because you had so many other games.
Yeah.
But what are those other games?
I've mostly been playing the two games I think I touched on last time we recorded, which is Pacopia and Final Fantasy VII Remake Intergrade.
And, so you want to give us an update on Pacopia?
Yeah, I beat it today.
Oh.
And
there's a finished game state?
Yes, it is an actual game with a story and a point and an ending. Now, you could probably keep playing it, and I might a little bit, but I feel pretty satisfied with what I got out of it. I think my Switch said put 50 plus hours, like I think it's like 55 plus hours into it. But yeah, there's a story with an ending and all that. Now, I do think the ending of the story is a little unsatisfying for me, and it makes me wonder if you kept playing, whether the story continues a little bit after the end credits, but I don't know. I stopped at the end. But yeah, big headline here is I think it's the best Switch 2 game. I think it's fucking fantastic. Kind of just obsessively played it until beating it today. I guess I'll let you guys ask me anything you want to know about it. But the one thing I wanted to touch on that I thought was really neat about it is, like, so there's different levels. I think I mentioned this last time too, right? Like, you think at first it's one big open world, but it's not. It's different levels. And every level kind of introduces like a new idea. And my favorite of these was a level called Bleak Beach. And when you show up there, it's like this beach or dark. It's like all like cloudy and dark. And it introduces the idea of electricity. And in the level, you can, it teaches you about, oh, there's power sources. So like a windmill or a water wheel or whatever that could be a power source. If you have a power source, then you could attach utility poles to it, and you could attach another utility pole to that, and anything in the vicinity of the utility pole that requires electricity will light up. I loved this. Like, as soon as I like discovered this level and this idea, I like became obsessed with it, dude. Like, I was fucking stringing up shit. Like, I fucking built a whole electrical grid right away. Like, I was just going crazy with this fucking level. I lit it up like fucking Las Vegas. And then I was like, oh yeah, I should probably be checking like what I'm supposed to be doing in this area. And the main quest kind of makes you do all the things I just did, except that it did not register me as doing them. So, like,
oh no,
I have Pikachu talking to me
again.
Yes. Pikachu's like, hey, did you know if you set up a near a fucking, something that creates energy, then you could light something up? Could you, like, set up, like, a utility pole on this, you know, beach? And meanwhile, I'm fucking lit up, like, Las Vegas behind me. It's telling me. Like, okay, I guess I'll do this again. So I kind of, like, had to go through literally, like, everything I just did again. But yeah, I thought that was, like, really neat. Like, there again, there's four total areas. That area does the electricity. The second area kind of introduces like cooking, and then the final area has like it's kind of built around elevators. And I all these things that you learn, you could bring them back. Like, if you want to go back to the first area and do all that shit, you could do it. And the story, is. It's not at the. It doesn't push the story to the forefront. It's, you know, it's minimal, I guess I would say, and a lot of it is in the background and for you to discover, you know, kind of through like finding logs and shit that people have left around. But I find it kind of intriguing because the story is kind of like, where did everyone go? Like, that's what, like, why is this world like completely destroyed? Where did everyone go? And we got to get the Pokemon back, and we got to get the humans back. And I don't know if you guys mind me saying this. Like, I'm not going to spoil the end of the game. I'm not going to spoil it. But, like, kind of as you're going through the game, it kind of becomes clear that humans fucked everything up and left. Like, they, like, environmentally fucked up the world and took off, like, to space. Which I find dark and funny, you know?
And so it's just left to the Pokemon to, like, rebuild and...
And it's kind of the story is, like, can you get the humans back? And I'm not going to spoil, like, how that goes, but, like, I just found it funny that, like, the hints are that, like, humans fucked everything up and took off. But, yeah, so, the game... Yeah, go ahead.
Oh, well... Go ahead, finish up what you were saying, then I'll
just think the game is, like, really, like, it's very relaxing and fucking awesome, like, and you just got, it's one of those games where you'd be at work, I get home, around in there, really had its hooks in me.
So, like, you lit up this beach area, like, Vegas. How hard is the building? Is it like, is it just like prefab stuff? Like, you can just be like, yeah, that's, I want to build this, or like you actually having to, like, put four sticks together and a piece of glass, and that becomes like a light pole or something.
It's incredibly easy. It is, like you said, like you go to a crafting station and it's like you need four sticks and a piece of glass to make whatever. Yeah. And you just do that. And like the electricity thing is like super simple. Like, it's as simple as I said. you just lay utility poles close enough to an energy source, and then you lay another utility pole close enough to that utility pole, and you can string up the whole fucking island. And then you don't have to do it like that. If you put like a street lamp anywhere near these utility poles, you're good. Like, and so it's super, super easy. And yeah, like anything that the game would have you do as you're going through the story is just like, yeah, build this. Or like you'll get like a Pokemon Center kit, like to build a Pokemon Center. You place it where you want it or whatever. And then you go up to the little sign, like the construction sign. You need these items and you need these Pokemon to build. And so you just have to make sure you have all those resources and then go around finding those Pokemon and say, hey, follow me over here, you know? And that's how the game goes. But like the thing is on top of that, if you want to be a really creative person, like someone who like really likes Minecraft and like really crafting your own buildings and stuff like that, you could do that too. Because the environment is made up of all these different blocks, and right, you could just right. build. You can, and on top of it, can you build a house? The game will recognize that you're building that house. So if you build anything with four walls and at least two layers of bricks deep, it recognizes that as a house. So now I have not gotten into any of that, but if you're a very creative person who like really likes building, this game has. You know, I would assume everything you would want out of a Minecraft clone, but it has a whole, like, a game built on top of that that is really fun for people who are maybe not as into that.
That's cool.
Yeah.
The like, you said, like, you need to get Pokemon to, like, help build the Pokemon Center, I assume, like, because you need workers or whatever to, like, help build it. But are they, like, do you have to have, like, is it, like, you need Charmander and Squirtle to build this, or is it just, like, get two Pokemon and...
It'll be a mix, so it'll be, like, you need six different Pokemon, and some of them will just... Most of them will be, like, you need this specific Pokemon.
Got it.
But then it'll be, like, you need someone who can bulldoze, and it could be anybody. So every build you try to do will be, like, a mix of that, where it's, like, there are you need a specific person or someone who could do that.
Got it.
That's the kind of the loop of it is like, because the main loop at the beginning is just attracting Pokemon, right? And then you have enough, then I can start cooler shit. So yeah, it's I don't know, man. I'm surprised you guys have not like tried this out yet because the game is like seems insanely popular. Like I'll be playing the game and I'll have friends just like I see friends pop. Jared, I'm on Pokopia. Like, I just see people, all my friend list is playing this fucking game. But not you guys. Well, how come you guys?
I mean, I want to try it, but like, I only have the one Switch 2, and my kids have it. And they're my older son is obsessed with this game. So,
getting
it back is hard.
He's right. It's again, I think it's like, if you're talking Switch 2 exclusive game,
yeah,
I would put this above Donkey Kong. I really would. I think it's just kind of a magical game that, like, barely ever frustrated me in any way, and kind of like just, I don't know, tickled me the whole time. Like, this is,
yeah,
great.
Yeah,
I don't know. It's just a very good like chill game if you're into like some. You know, something that's just relaxing. It's great.
I like the idea of this like dark Pokemon, like that's that's presented like happy chipper. Like Jeff seems very happy with it, but
yeah, like there is like a layer, like yeah.
You know, I think that layer of the humans have done horrible things and the Pokemon would be better off left alone is like an undertone of the entire series. There's a
yeah,
lot.
Yeah, there was a little bit in the last in the yeah. Was it Legends or whatever? It was like. The humans are kind of bad.
Yeah, the humans are awful. You know, look at Mewtwo. Like, you know, look at all the Pokemon who went extinct. Like, they're like, there's a whole like storyline about them coming back and wanting revenge against the humans.
It's like, I want to try it, but then it's like, there's so many other games, and also it's like. the visual of it, and people were kind of comparing it to Animal Crossing. What you just described does not seem, it seems way more of a game than, not that Animal Crossing isn't a game, but there just seems like there's more concrete direction in what to do in this than like Animal Crossing. So maybe it,
there definitely is. It's definitely, you'll walk around, meet Pokemon, and they will tell you, you need to do these things for me. You got to do
I kind of wish people would not compare it to Animal Crossing as much, because, like, it's not like a game where, now that I've beaten it, I don't really want to go see what's going on with the Pokemon day to day. And even while I was playing it, I didn't care. I just thought it was cool getting them, like collecting them, and then like I could use them for whatever needs I need to use them for. But it's not too.
Whoa! Don't say it like that.
Typical human.
Yeah.
What's the Pokemon version of bestiality? I'm just wondering.
That's why we need mods for this.
No, we don't. Not those kind of mods. No,
oh, I'm sure somebody already has them.
But I will say, like, early on in Animal Crossing, at least in like the Switch one, like, there, it was more goal oriented, and so like early on,
yeah,
like I can see a comparison between early, like the early stages of Animal Crossing and this, but no, but this is like, this is an actual game with like a beginning, middle, and end, but it has all that kind of playground. I'm trying to think of the word, like playpen, like that, like, yeah, you could like mess around in it forever. I think there's people that will build incredible things. Yeah, the sandbox. I think there's people that will build, like, will play this for hundreds and hundreds of hours and will build incredible things. I don't think I'll be one of those people. I think I will play it a little bit more, because like it was nagging at me that I never really built nice houses for my Pokemon. So I think I kind of want to still do that a little bit. As well as find new Pokemon, because I think by the end of the game I had 120 or so Pokemon, and I think that there are way more than that. So like I kind of want to see what else is out there to find. But now that like I'm past the narrative and like there's no new levels or anything like or secrets for me to unlock, that I'm less inclined to play this for much longer.
How many Pokemon were there in the first game?
I don't know.
151. I bet that's how many are in this, Jeff.
I think I think it might be way more.
My understanding is this is based on the. Is it based on first the original?
Gen. No, yeah. there are lots of Pokemon from all over this series.
Yeah, oh, so I think
from all over.
Yeah, dude, I think there might be hundreds. I think like I might have a fraction of what
the area. The area it's in is like some like post-apocalyptic version of Kanto, which is like the original.
I was watching my son play. He was beating Pokemon who were not Kanto Pokemon.
Okay. So there's just more to it. That's neat. I may try it. I have it wishlisted on Nintendo. I know it's never gonna go on sale, but
I think I don't know, man. Like, unless you really hate anything involving that genre. It's super cool, dude. Like, it's just, it's like, and it's not like Animal Crossing. Like, again, like, it's like, you don't necessarily have to like Animal Crossing to enjoy this, but like, I guess the closest comparison is if you've ever tried Dragon Quest Builders and thought that was neat. It's like Dragon Quest Builders, but there's no combat, you know?
All right. I may give it a shot. Okay. And the other game you were playing was Final Fantasy VII Remake.
Yeah. Which I tried to beat before tonight, but I'm close, but I'm not.
What chapter?
I'm in chapter 16. I am just about to save Aerith. I'm like very close to saving Aerith. Like you have to get to the 63rd.
Final Fantasy VII Remake. I just want to see how many chapters there are.
Oh, there's 18. I've looked this up.
18. So you're like right there.
Yes.
Okay. So how did you feel about going through the Shinra Tower all that. Like, have you fought Hojo?
I have not fought Hojo yet. I'm close.
Okay. Okay. So our friend of ours, Sean, was also playing this at the same time as you.
I think I got him playing it because I was talking about it.
And yeah, and I think he was in a mood about it. He had some feelings about it.
I feel like so like early on in the game, there's like so many of these iconic like scenes and scenarios where you're just like, this is awesome, dude. Like, I could see why this became like classic. And near the end, like where I'm at now, it just feels like a lot of padding where you're just like, could we get the fuck on with it? Like, you're trying to go through this building at the Shinra building at the end. And it's like, oh, you got a key card, but then you have to like go up to the 60th floor. And then you have to upgrade the key card to get to the 61st floor. Then you have to upgrade this key card to get to the 62nd floor. I'm like, come on, dude. Like, I just felt like that, like a lot in the back half of this game where could we get the fuck on with it? Like, I get it. Let's go. I remember I was messaging you, Chris, in chapter 9, where you're doing this whole, like, saving someone from this brothel, and you're just like...
yeah,
it goes on forever! Whole... It goes on so long!
Which is funny, because... So we've talked about this before. So Remake is... basically the first 3-4 hours of Final Fantasy VII, like the original game.
And you can start to really feel that as you're on hour 30 of this game. And, like, and so I don't know, like, what's added. I don't know what's added, you know?
It's funny because you're like, oh, you have to, like, you know, you get to level 60 or 65 or whatever it is, and, like, you have to upgrade the key card to get to the next level.
Is that all, like, in the game?
That is in the original Final Fantasy VII.
That's outrageous to me.
But it takes like 3 minutes to do, right? And the level isn't that big. Like the level 61 isn't very big. Level 62, not very big. And they only take like 2-3 minutes to like find the key card, get to the next area. Maybe you have a couple battles in there that pad it out a little bit, but it doesn't take that long. It's all just padding, but it's all in there.
That's crazy. Like, it starts to, the game starts to, like, after your like third or fourth time running through the fucking, I'm just like, this is starting to feel a little tedious. And as you're going through the building, having to like upgrade your key card and all that, Barrett at some point says, like, he's like, why does everything have to be a goddamn pain in the ass? I'm like, that's a very good fucking question, Barrett, because I want this game to be fucking over. I generally like it, though.
You're coming up on a trio of like bosses that Sean pretty much hated. So
I'm worried because like in chapter 14, they were like, yo, you should go explore the city, like the slums, and do all these side quests because you're gonna get some cool shit, and you like need to do it. And I said, "Fuck this!" And I fucking went straight towards Corneo's mansion to get the fuck out.
Oh no!
So like, I skipped.
Sean did all that, and he was having some trouble. Now that's the thing. I also did it all, but I don't remember struggling with it. So
no, mostly it's been super easy, and like, I think the combat's fun, but like, I just don't know if I would prefer it to. I can't say. It's fine, but I haven't really felt challenged by it. That's like, yeah. There was one point I got stuck going through the Shinra building, and I had to like, I pulled up a walkthrough, and I'm going reading through chapter 16. And I'm like, oh god, I missed like. During the whole part where you're like crawling around on the ceiling, like hanging from the ceiling, there was apparently like amazing weapon I could get from Tifa that I just completely missed. So like, I'm going into this fucking ending basically naked. Like, whatever, like, whatever I have, I've found no cool shit.
You don't have their ultimate weapons, you don't have...
No, I, you know, there was an ultimate weapon.
Material, yeah.
In fact, I've been mostly, like, I'm still using the Buster Sword for
Cloud, yeah.
Because I don't like the RPG systems in this either. There's so many things I hate about this game, and I still like. But I don't like how everything is tied to like just upgrading your weapons. It makes me like, yeah. I don't want to start over. You know what I mean? Like, I don't like that.
That's kind of linked to like the original in how, because you would level up, your stats go up a little bit, but then like when you get to a new town, like kind of the, and you play Dragon Quest, like,
yeah, like the shops will sell better shit, or
yeah, like every time you get to a new shop, you would buy like a new weapon, and so that is how Final Fantasy VII, because that was that era of, you know, RPG, and that's how they were kind of built then. Like the upgrade model was like, you know, you grind levels and then you upgrade your equipment.
Yeah, and I just.
They brought that over in the remake because,
yeah, no, I just don't find, I'd rather just find lots of gear. Like, I'd rather be more Diablo-ish where it's like you found better gear, you know, not just,
yeah,
oh, you found this weak ass fucking weapon and it might be better if you fucking 800 times. Like, I just don't like that. I know, yeah, it's like a common RPG system, but I just it's not something I prefer. And like,
yeah, I get it.
So there's like a lot, like there's a million things in this. Like, I think it's like one of the main things that's kept me playing it, strangely enough, is the story. I think the story is actually quite good in it. I think the graphics are fucking amazing.
Weirdly, maybe not weirdly, but quite timely.
Yeah. No. I didn't expect it to bring in all that to it. And, I think the graphics are great. Like, it's so impressive, especially on Switch 2. But I'm like, God, it's just to look at factories and cities and slums. And I really hope, like, an area that looks pretty. I'm sick of looking at this industrial shit.
You're not going to get that in this game. Although the final chapter, the final boss battle is pretty like out there.
But you're saying Rebirth does have like different environments.
Rebirth, yeah, like, so as I said, like the remake is literally just the first 3, 4, 5 hours of Final Fantasy VII, depending upon how long it takes you to get out of Midgar, which is the city. Like, it is that industrial,
yeah, so
sci-fi city.
It's just like turning that into a whole RPG game, like, you know, in this remake, it just feels you never see any variety.
So like once you get to Rebirth, though, like the beginning of Rebirth is you are leaving, like you've left Midgar, mm-hmm, and you're outside. You're going to go to different towns. They all have different looks to them. So like there's like a nice like little kind of like fantasy type village that you're going to go to. Then you'll go to like a little, like, it's a town that's underneath a cliff that is like on the ocean, and then there's like on top of the cliff there's a military base that you'll visit. Like, you're gonna go to like a whole bunch of different,
that's the thing, is like you were trying to tell me like you kind of prefer the first one, and I'm like, I almost guarantee I'll like Rebirth better.
It's Rebirth is so sprawling.
Yeah, that's that, I like sprawling.
Yeah, so much, like it goes from, like, I think I finished Remake in like 25-30 hours. Rebirth is like a 70-80 hour game, like minimum. Like, that's not doing everything, that is just kind of like driving through the game, maybe hitting a side quest here or there, but it's there's a lot of game, and a lot of it feels like padding. But if you want the visual variety, you're gonna get that with
Rebirth. I also just like early on in Final Fantasy VII Remake, I thought it was like really cool because like it's very set PC and like cool scenarios.
Yeah.
But like as the game goes on, you start to notice like it's literally like a lot of just running down corridors and then, mm-hmm, getting to a cutscene. And that's okay because I'm enjoying the story, but as I'm getting to the end now, I'm like, I'm getting restless. I'm just like, this is not opening up to be like a big RPG like you want it to be. Like, it does that in chapter 14. It's like, hey, go. I'm so now driven. Like, I'm so used to just that I'm just like, okay, I don't want to do that. Game is.
Yeah.
So I'm interested to see how I'll react to Rebirth, but like, it just cracks me up because like, basically almost every aspect of this game you could point to, and I find something I don't like about it, and yet I'm still like, no, this is a pretty badass game. Like, it just looks so cool. It's got some cool ideas. Like, story's cool, and so like, I'm into it. Surprisingly, like all these things, I'm like kind of shocked to be saying to you, but that's where I'm at with it.
I am glad you like it. I hope you like Rebirth too. When you finally get to that, I think it comes out in June on the Switch. So
yeah,
that I think that'll be fun for you. And it you're getting them at like basically at budget prices, because I think Rebirth is currently, if you pre-order it, it's like $40.
Yeah, this one was 40. Yeah.
Yeah. So good stuff now, there.
I am tempted to just buy the physical version because like this is taking up like the main thing driving me to beat 7 right now is I want to
delete
so
it
bad because it's taking up my whole fucking, it's taking up all my storage. So we'll see.
Speaking of physical games, the one piece of news that I did not quite touch on that I forgot about. Nintendo, I guess in the near future is going to be lowering the price of their digital games.
You know what's so funny is how the news reports this is they report it in the opposite way.
That physical games are getting a pricing.
Are going to cost more. Yeah. So like on the nightly news tonight, like on the NBC nightly news, they reported about this and they're like, you know, physical versions of games are going to cost more. Blah, 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 blah. It's harder to, you know, cost more to do. And I'm like, yeah, but that's like, inaccurate, because like what this really is what it should have always been, which is the digital version is less.
Yes.
Yes.
This is awesome. So,
and I think it's only going to be, I mean, maybe it'll be variable for games, but it seems like it's only going to be like a $10 difference, right? So like if it's a $70 physical game, it'll be a $60 digital game. But yeah, I'm on board. Sign me up.
I mean. Yeah, I've always thought that the digital should be cheaper, and this is like Nintendo smartly, like they're raising their prices on games, but they're not.
Just sorry, the price of the games.
Yeah, but I mean, like, we went up to 70 this gen, right?
Yeah.
But then they're like, hey, you know what? If you get a digital, it'll be a little less. I like it. I don't know. The other option is it's 70 either way, which is what it has. Right, it's like I paid 70 for fucking Donkey Kong. So
I'd rather play 60 and then in 7 games, I've basically paid for an extra game. Tony, what have you been playing?
So other than Mini Shoot Adventures, Madden, which you know kind of takes me back like 5 years, lots of Madden. I am still holding with my opinion that the Madden, this past Madden, is really, really good and really, really entertaining. I like some of the RPG stuff that happens, like as you play like through a franchise season, like things will happen. Like you'll have a player who's like, I want more carries. And then if you give that player more carries and they perform, they'll get bonuses, they'll get more XP. They may upgrade to a point where like they get more XP every game, which is always really cool.
Okay.
There are coaching based things where like your coaches will notice things about the other team, which will give you bonuses when you play that team if you like run certain kinds of plays against them. And then if you're like able to succeed at those plays, you'll get other sorts of bonuses. They've really like leaned into like the RPG aspects of sports games here. which I think is really, really good, because, you know, Madden wasn't doing anything in this respect before. So, yeah, I think this past Madden's really good. You should play it. It's good.
Are you playing that on Xbox or?
Xbox, yes. Because, you know, it's free on Game Pass now. So, yeah, okay. The $0 price is also, you know, very appealing.
That is an appealing price. I saw that it was just on sale on the Steam Spring sale for like $14. And I was like,
yeah,
I waited too long. So sale ended today, but yeah. I was thinking about just getting it because I could play it on my handheld.
The Steam sale was sort of disappointing because I was like, I bought yeah. everything I wanted in the Winter Spit sale. And I'm like, yeah. what can I get now?
And yep.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was like one of the games that was there. I was like, maybe sale's over.
The one thing I was looking for was Cyberpunk being on sale. I'm like, oh, it's not really on sale on the Steam. It's not a good sale since I already own the game. And then now it's on sale on Xbox. So do that.
Nothing else besides Madden?
I'm trying to think. I think those are the only two games I've played. I'm trying okay. to get, like, I'm up to my, I think I'm 14-0, my okay. perfect season. I was, like, it was shocking when I was 13-0, and I realized that I was the number two seed, because the Ravens were also 13-0. Which was sort of annoying, and they played a tougher schedule, but then they lost their next game. And now I'm playing them. So now they're going to be 13-2.
There you go.
I've never gone through a season of Madden and not been the number one seed. I was like, what's happening? This doesn't make any sense.
We're 13 games in and I'm still not the best.
I've won every game, like, convincingly. And somehow I'm number two. I don't understand what's happening.
Well, back on top after you beat them again. So
that's right.
I played Mini Shoot over our break there, but the other main game I've been playing is trying to wrap up Final Fantasy Tactics. And I don't know, is Jeff back? Still away, still muted.
That was the one game I might have actually bought at the Steam sale, but did not.
Yeah, they Square had a decent amount of
like sales. 30%, like, the game's been out for 6 months. 30% is not much of a sale. Just saying. Yeah,
that's what I'm seeing from like a lot of games from last year, is like we're not getting the deep discounts
yeah.
that we were. It's like Mafia, the Old Country, still is like has not dropped below $40. It's like,
yeah, I would try that game too if it was really cheap.
Yeah, it's like, but I don't know if I want to spend $40 on it, but 25, 30, maybe even 30, like, maybe I'd drop at it. 20, 25 is probably a no thought. Like, I would immediately right. pull the trigger. But yeah, playing Tactics. And I wanted to see if Jeff got Cloud in that. He is not back from his break yet. I'm almost done. The battles in that are really good. It's just now what they're doing is the story missions are, you'll go to this one area and they're going to like throw three straight battles at you. And your guys, like, you know, they heal in between the battles. It's just, they're long. Like, these could be like long fights, and it's like, I don't know. It's they seem like they might be dragging on a little bit more than it should. Narratively though, game's awesome. Like, it is very similar to Final Fantasy VII, very kind of timely in its messaging. Where Final Fantasy VII was kind of about like capitalism and corporates, you know, corporations taking over and controlling the infrastructure and privatization of the government through corporates through corporations and stuff. Final Fantasy Tactics is more about class struggle and a ruling power trying to pit the regular people against each other, and also a whole full-on like religious wing trying to take over as well.
Love those religious people. Great.
Yeah, it's like this is kind of nightmarish that like some dude in 1997 or whatever, whenever that game came out, was like writing for a video game shit that is kind of like taking place in the real world now. I guess art eventually does become real life, so
that's not good.
No,
I'm laughing, but that's horrible. We don't want that to happen.
It's like where we have certain conservatives like looking at The Handmaid's Tale and like, that's what we want. Like, no,
yeah, that's okay, that's good, we like that. Wait, no, you didn't understand the story. Stop. Right.
It's like, media literacy is bad, very bad. But Final Fantasy Tactics, really fun. Fortunately, I did want to see if Jeff got Cloud, because it is a multi-step side quest that you may not even come across if you don't have a certain character in your party at the time. But oh, Jeff is back now.
I'm sorry.
No, it's fine. Did you end up getting Cloud in Final Fantasy Tactics?
I don't think so, no.
Did you have Mustario in your party?
I don't think so.
So Mustario is a guy I think you come across in chapter 2 or act 2 or whatever, and he's being chased by some bandits, and that's when you start learning about the crystals. And if you save him and you recruit him in chapter 4, act 4, if you go back to his hometown,
Mustario?
Yeah, I think that's his name.
His
like default is he has a gun. He's a machinist. It's his but like if he's in your party, if he's part of your like 50 man crew or whatever, and you go back to his hometown where his dad, another machinist, is at, there's a cutscene, and it'll trigger a whole side quest where you're going to recruit like 4 other people. But at the end of it, you can actually recruit Cloud from Final Fantasy VII, which is kind of ridiculous, cool. But it's like a neat little touch there. So I was just wondering if you did that, because it's the one thing I never did in the original, and I finally did it in this one. It's like, that's kind of cool.
So you're playing the Evil East Chronicles or whatever.
Yeah. Almost done. I have, I think, like 5 story missions left. But as I was telling Tony, like, those missions are getting longer and longer. Like, they're becoming like multi-staged missions. So, and tough. They can be a little bit tough at times. But it's a great game.
Yeah, it really is.
Hoping to finish that this weekend.
I think that was my number 2 game of last year, and it was just a remake. But I was just like, this is so good that like I have to put it on the list. Yeah.
Just very well done. That's basically it for what I've been playing. We got one last thing to cover here. I know Jeff did not watch it.
I did not watch it either.
You did not watch it, Green.
No.
So
I love myself. That's too much to, you know.
Earl has recorded like a 4-minute talk, which I'm gonna splice in right here.
I regret not being able to attend this week, but things came up, and I wanted to talk about this project that somehow I broke this all into doing, and it means that we get to revisit some... It's called a movies. This week we are covering 2005's Blood Rain, directed And I feel like this is going to be on my tombstone, just to kind of raise rub salt into the wound. Directed by Ubo. This film had a budget of $25 million and made $3.7 million. So, you know, what we call in the industry a smash hit. If, you know, a smash hit means it didn't make any money and nobody saw it. I think first thing first, this movie has somehow roped so many people into doing it. Michelle Rodriguez, Michael Madsen, Ben Kingsley, Meat Loaf's in here, Billy Zane. I will say I've seen this movie before, and this was the movie that made me realize that Ben Kingsley will take a role for a paycheck. Hey, I'm not going to hate on the dude, but rewatching this, you could clearly tell the guy was on set for like a day or two, and that's all they had. That wig or his hairpiece is just insane because it does not, it sits on his head, not like on him. You can see it literally is on top of his head. But that goes without saying. Also, it seems like he was, like, again, he was there for a day or two. They gave him, like, the easiest stunt choreography. And that's saying something because this movie has some really awful fight scenes across the board no matter what. But the fact that he just really does nothing. And it's supposed to be the big climactic battle. And it's just Ben Kingsley's show you moving around and throwing a back kick. And then it had that weird early 2000s filter. Not the Matrix Showmo, but that thing where, like it was like they lowered the frame rate so it looks really janky and like not shadowy, but kind of like an echo or of the fight, and it was jarring. It was not throughout the entire film, but it would pop up every so often. Michelle Rodriguez is in here. I mean, this is after she had done the Fast and the Furious. Granted, the Fast and the Furious would not become what the Fast and the Furious is now, known for a couple more entries, but still, it was a role, and I for the life of me could not figure out what type of accent she was trying to do in this movie. I don't think the movie understood what type of accent she was trying to do. She turns bad and then she dies like the next scene or two afterwards. Spoilers, I guess, because I'm sure you're all going to go track down this movie. I've never played the Blood Rain games, so I don't know what type of games they are, and based off of this movie I don't think I could figure out what type of games they were. Part of it feels part Tomb Raider early on, then it kind of becomes like an RPG, you know, you gather a party, you defend this thing, then you go and fight the big bad or whatever. It stars a vampire, I mean, that's the whole point of this, who's allergic to water, and this is one of my pet peeves. She's allergic to water until she gets an eye thingy in the early parts of the movie, and that makes her, you know, immune to some of the vampire weaknesses. But the fact that she was immune to water since birth, but somehow she's an expert swimmer later on when it's needed to fight Michelle Rodriguez. Again, I'm not looking for a ton of logic, but at that point, I was just like, what's going on here? I'm trying to keep this short. So I will say, I think of the movies we watch, I think this is still above Alone in the Dark. Again, I think just because of the caliber of the cast and some, you know, okay action, I would put it above that, but I think this is still clearly in the F tier of things we've watched. So yes, that is my rank for Blood Rain. It's F, but it's an F above. Again, if we're ranking, it's above Alone in the Dark. So yeah.
He gave the film an F. He absolutely he liked it more than Alone in the Dark, but he still thought it was F tier. I'm not as I'm not as upset with this film as he was. I'm gonna give it a D. The cast is fucking insane though. It's Michael Madsen, Michelle Rodriguez, Christina Loken, Ben Kingsley, Meat Loaf, Udo Kier.
How did they get Ben Kingsley in this?
I don't know, but it is insane.
Sir Ben Kingsley.
Yep. He plays the big bad vampire. He's only in it for like maybe 10 minutes total. But he is in the final battle sequence where he fights off against Rain. The battles in this are terrible. The fight sequence are awful. The choreography is nightmarish. But outside of that, I think there's a little bit of a charm to it. It's it's like sci-fi original quality, which is much better than House of the Dead and Alone in the Dark, which weren't that. I don't know. I don't hate it. But I will say, I don't really know, outside of she looks like Rain from the video games, I don't know what this has to do with Blood Rain, because Blood Rain, the video games, like, you're fighting Nazis. There are no Nazis in this. This is a straight up fantasy film. But since neither of you watched it, and I assume that you will both place this as an F.
Yes. So,
sure.
I don't need to see this movie to know that it's not good.
It's I don't think it's good either. I just gave it a D, but
didn't hate it.
Yeah, I didn't hate it. I've seen so many worse movies though, so I don't know if I could be like, yeah, this is that much worse than like Wing Commander, which we had at D. So Blood Rain gets an F. It joins Mortal Kombat Annihilation, Tomb Raider 2, Resident Evil Apocalypse, Final Fantasy Spirits Within, and Alone in the Dark as our F-tier movies. I don't know what Earl's plan was for the next film, but I had a list up, and it looks like if he's following the same list, the next film is the original Silent Hill, which made $97 million at the box office.
Chris, so, should I be renting this new one?
I would say no.
Okay.
I'm so intrigued
by it. Like, it looks like it follows the game.
It does and doesn't. Like, it changes things, which I think crazy people are really upset about. I think the core of it is it's just not good. But if you played Silent Hill 2, it does pretty much follow that.
Yeah, I listened to Lex G.
Yep.
He talked about it, and he's just like, I don't know, it's very mediocre or whatever.
Yep.
But he's like, but when it gets to the end, it gets to this whole like thing that he's like was like super emotional and kind of caught me off guard. And he does not play video games, right? So he's like, is this from the video game? He's like, I've had people tell me it's from the video game. And kind of like, he's like, I just thought it was like above like the rest of the movie in a way. And I was like, yeah, that's like, what I remember of Silent Hill 2 is that I'm like, holy shit. Like, that's like really heavy thematic material for a video game.
Yeah. So like Silent Hill 2 like deals with, I think the guy's name is James Sunderland. He is dealing with, like, he has guilt over the death of his wife, girlfriend.
Kind of like wanting her to die, right? Like wanting it,
yeah.
Like wanting it to be over.
Yeah. Yeah. And then, like, you find out she was sick, and, like, you know, there's a whole bunch going on.
Yeah. That's heavier than your usual video game subject.
Right? Yes. Yeah. And the movie adds some weird shit involving a cult, and, like, that's not in the game, and that's what people are upset about, is like that added cult shit. I don't think it hurts it any. It's just I don't think the movie is particularly good, and also I think it's like barely 95 minutes or something like that, so I don't think they necessarily pay it off with the story that they're telling there in the movie. But anyway, I believe the original Silent Hill is our next film, but I will let Earl confirm that to us. I actually do remember liking this one a little bit, so
me too. I might watch it.
Yeah, Sean Bean, I believe, is the main character. I think he plays the main actor in it.
So he dies.
Surprise. Yeah.
Actually, I won't be here for the next episode because I'm going to be heading to the Bahamas. So, but maybe I might watch the movie though. I might report back.
We Yeah, we won't talk about it until the end of April. So you got some time, but Jeff, you enjoy the Bahamas.
Okay, I'm just on a fun unrelated note.
Sure.
My wife is sending me a picture. She sent me a picture of something from Facebook of some music festival that's coming up.
Mm-hmm.
And she's like, we have to go to this. And let me read you what this is. Mm-hmm. The Summer of 99 and Beyond. Saturday, July 9th. I'm not going to read every band, but I'll read some of them, the big ones. Saturday, July 18th. Limp Bizkit, Seven Dust, Puddle of Mud. Sunday, July 19th, Creed, Bush, Candlebox, Hoobastank. And she's like, we have to go to this. And I was like, for what?
What year is this? What?
It's just, even if you like, it's literally all the worst shit of that era. Like, okay, if you want to, I guess.
I mean, I kind of feel like you do have to go.
Yeah, no, it'd be a good time.
I guess.
Just go drink a bunch. FYI, the people that come out to see Creed are giant red hat people now. So
maybe I'll let her know of that, because that's the night she wants to go, because the band that she wants to see is Bush. She considers Bush a great band. And I'm like, Bush was like, that album was good and it had some good songs on it that like kind of endure, but like, I would not say Bush is a good band. Like, I don't know. I think that's giving them a little too much credit, but I don't know.
Yeah, I like that. I liked, what was it, a 16 Stone, that first album.
Yeah, I like Glycerine on that, you know, probably a couple others. You know, it's not like, they're not my heavy rotation of things that I would listen to now.
I have not listened to Bush in maybe 25 years.
Yeah, exactly. It just cracks me up.
It's been a while. Well, when is that?
July.
That is that is in July. Well, you enjoy the outside in Tinsley Park or Tinley Park.
Yeah. It's a nice little, outdoor venue for sure. I've seen, we went to go see there that I thought was, these were good bands. We saw Weezer with the Pixies opening for them, and that was fucking awesome. But that was because it was Weezer and the Pixies and not Creed and fucking Hoobastank or whatever this shit is.
So I when Tony was here in Philly a few years ago, I went with him to a corporate event for his work, but they had like a bunch of people, and like I think that this show would work the way that Tony's corporate event was put on, where it was like Steve Allgary, who used to sing for Creed for a Journey for a little bit. There was the lady from, what was it, Blondie? Is that?
Yep.
Yeah.
Deborah Harry.
Deborah Harry. She was there. What's the guy's name from Sugar Ray?
Dude, that guy's a blast. You guys saw him?
He was great.
He's so good.
He was great, man, too. He was great.
We saw him at the carnival that I have downtown here. He was awesome.
It was like doing like one song a piece.
Yep. That would be what I think this, right? Like, Bush comes out, does Glycerine. Hoobastank comes out, does The Reason. Candlebox plays whatever Candlebox plays. like Creed comes out, plays like their three big songs, and then you all go home happy, right? Like I think that would be how this plays out best, but it's probably not. It's going to be like an all-day event, right?
Yeah, but also I'm just kind of like some of these bands kind of attract the worst people. Like I told her, like, you know, we're going to see the worst people of our generation there. Like, the people that were in the Limp Bizkit, that's who we're going to see there. And, I don't know. But sure.
Yep. Well, enjoy. Have fun at the Summer of 99. Have fun in the Bahamas. We'll be back in 2 weeks without Jeff. But in in a month, we'll be talking maybe about Silent Hill and Cyberpunk 2077. Jeff, say goodnight.
Good night.